Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You're listening to the Go Birds Podcast.
Hello. It is the Go Birds Podcast presented by the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. Daily Pods Day.
Number 10.
Elliot, day number 10. Elliot, I'm proud. I like how much you enjoy that.
I love watching the number grow. I know. Without question. I'm big, like in my life in general, I'm very big at like checking things off.
You know,
like being like, I'm going to do it this many days. So to continue to achieve what we set out to
so
do.
So I appreciate that. Yeah. I'm not huge on that. I will say we've talked a lot, final thoughts, whatever, about how big a notes app guy I've become.
Right.
I do enjoy checking movies off my movie list when I can go back and do the little strike through the movie.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling.
You know who else is big in that? Sirianni.
Oh,
he's a big,
really?
Every day, like, has a thing he wants to do, checks it off.
Yeah. So. Okay. Well, but what a lead in.
Well, we could.
What a pro you are. Dude, so we're going to get to that in a second.
Well, really quick. Yeah. Have you looked at the weather for Sunday?
Has it gotten colder?
Might snow. Ooh, there's like a 50% chance of snow. And initially, it was from like 6 to what, like later on. So, you know, maybe the fourth quarter. When I checked this morning, the weather app I trust the most, it was like 1 o'clock.
Buddy, a little snowball.
1 o'clock to like 6. So there's a shot we got. And you want to talk about...
You are smiling right now. Elliot is in his happy place.
Again, I'm Team Dome, but like, both can be true. I love a snow game, while I would also sacrifice it for a dome. But regardless, if you want to talk about even more of a reason to think the Eagles are going to win, you think the Rams are going to beat the Eagles in a... The Eagles were built for snow. Like, so this team was designed to play in snow.
I think they're winning by 14 points or more. Like, I remember last week how as the week went on, I got a little bit less confident as
it went on.
You were never as confident as I was.
Yes,
I came on, I was like, they're going to smoke these guys.
Yeah.
And I still felt confident. I picked them to cover off. But like as it went on, I was like a little more nervous about the Ross. So I was like, I think they're going to roll on Sunday. Like I am obnoxiously confident about this game. But to your point, the snow, the high of the win that they just had.
Well, that's a good point.
For
I
LA. I mean, we all saw the Minneapolis Miracle, and it's a different situation, all that.
Yeah.
But it is hard for teams to have this emotional high like they did, and they should. I mean, that was a big deal to play for their city and what's going on and to win for their fans. And like, that was emotional for those guys. And they're in Arizona and they fly on their own like 3 a.m. after this emotional night. And then they got to get right back to work to play the Eagles. Like, it's hard to do that.
I agree with that.
It's hard to come back down and then get back up 6 days later. Like, I really think the Rams are walking into a blender. Like, I really do.
So I feel that exact same way. Honestly, the exact same way. And my confidence is not wavering. But I did want to acknowledge two things you said yesterday that at the time I wasn't as informed on, but I looked into it yesterday and I think you were correct. And I think it's worth pointing out. the defense has been better.
They've been much better. Yeah.
They have. Now
they're still not a good, like a great.
Right. And close. They played the Jets, the
and
Cardinals.
Super young.
The Bill, like, I think it was the Lions put up, they lost that game. Well, the Lions put up 42 on them.
Yeah. 40,
no, it was the Bills.
It was the Bills. They won 44-42. But yes. Yeah, so it was.
But the defense wasn't great there. Now the Seahawks put up 30 on them, but they were playing backups. But so the defense is definitely playing better. Now the flip side of that is the offense is not playing great. Like the offensive numbers have not been good. But the other thing you said, and we'll talk about this more throughout the week because that's what we're doing today, but they do have interesting pieces in the secondary. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think the secondary is good, but they have, like, if the Rams were rebuilding, I'd be excited about that secondary. A lot of, like, guys that have played less than 3 years can move all around. You know, normally when I prep for a team, I'll be like, well, this guy definitely is there all the time. Or this guy lines. The Rams, guys move, like, all around. Like, the safeties move all around. The corners move in. So it's different. Like last week, Xavier McKinney, you wanted to target him and make sure, like, stay away from him. And with this team, I almost think the first thing Jalen has to do is, like, figure out
where everyone where. Is. What's
yeah.
Going on.
So again, still not a great passing defense. They're 26 in the league in net yards allowed. And that's obviously the whole year, not just the last seven. But I think if there was, like, 1% of my confidence removed, it is what you said yesterday. Like, they have a good defensive line. They have interesting pieces in the secondary. And over the last seven games, like, they have played well. I still think the Eagles are far superior. I still will pick them to win by 10 or more. But you were right about the pieces in the secondary in the last seven.
It's ironic because the Rams, and they would do it again. They won a Super Bowl doing it, but they traded away all their draft picks, won a Super Bowl. They're actually pretty damn good at drafting when they are. Dude, their picks.
This is not a great apples to apples, but, like, their secondary reminds me a little bit of the process with the Sixers, where it was like, you just get a bunch of young guys and just figure it out. And, like, the Eagles are on another level than the Rams. Mike Quick said this on your show. Like, some teams enter the playoffs knowing it's not their year. Some teams enter the playoffs knowing it is their year. For a team that knows it's not their year in the Rams, like, that's an exciting secondary to have. The Eagles secondary is better. Quinion's better. Cooper's better. CJ, all that stuff. But it's an exciting secondary they have on a macro scale, like, moving forward.
Yeah. No, and again, the Rams are a solid team. They're just not in the Eagles' hemisphere.
They're just not. Like, that's the best way to put it. Yeah.
All right. So I want to get to the Sirianni thing in a sec, but first, we're gonna try it a little new bit here on the pod. A little new thing is Elliot.
Here it is.
Join the legions of Eagles fans, making the number one book on Amazon. Shout out to
number one book, exactly.
Jim Murphy.
Whoever Jim Murphy.
What a day for Jim Murphy. Just minding his own business.
I'm a little worried in, like, a week it's gonna come out Jim Murphy, maybe. But, well, like,
that's what you always worry about.
Yeah. Like, for now it's very exciting.
So
here's what we're gonna do.
We're going to read a little bit. I still can't believe you bought the book. I love that you bought the book.
Well, I love this stuff in general. What's funny is when it arrived
yesterday. I've never read a self-help book. I've never read
anything. There's something about calling it a self-help book that I don't like. But you're right.
But
that
it's a self-help book.
I know.
If you go to Barnes & Noble, it'll say self-help book.
Agreed. Like, I just view it more as motivational instead of self-help.
Okay. Self-help
to me
book.
Feels like, you know, there's nothing
it's
wrong.
It's your own issue. It's called a self-help book.
But I don't know if it's an issue. I don't know.
It's your own.
I'd prefer
bugaboo.
If we called it
it's your own bugaboo.
Yeah, I'd prefer if we called it.
I'll probably call it a self-help book.
I know you know.
But okay. So
anyway, it was funny. It came yesterday, and Kristen wants to read it too. Kristen is into. I will say the, like, motivational.
Yeah,
like,
I just have never. I've never. And look, shout out to people who do like however you motivate yourself. However you get going, like, I respect the hell out of it. For me, I've just never. Like, I've never been interested. I've never bought it. Like, I've never. Never thought that way.
So you know what's crazy? I used to feel the exact same way you did about all this. And I'm going to almost sound like I'm on an infomercial, but I swear on my life, like, and we've talked about this, like, 6-7, or I guess maybe 5 years ago, like, I was bad with money and Kristen was like, you should read this money book. And I swear on my life, it changed completely. So, like, I used to feel that way.
Well, I think a money book's different from a self-help book. Like, I would read
I view money as self-help. I view this
as
motivation.
Well, in a way it is, but, like, I mean, like, my point is, like, motivational type stuff, this and that. Like, there's a it's practical in the sense that you're trying to make yourself better.
Right.
But in terms of the money thing, there's a practical, tangible thing attached to that.
I'm talking about these ones
where it's like your inner selves, this and that.
Right.
Like, that
stuff the money book's never, almost like a workout.
It's just never
book.
Appealed to
yes.
me. I get it. It's just never spoken.
Well,
to me,
guess so. What, buddy?
It's about to
speak.
So we're just
going to
open
whole,
it at random.
So yeah.
And just pick a little passage.
So we're just going to open it to a page, read what it says. Yeah. Hopefully it goes to a passage.
There we go.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
Page 142.
Put on your Jim Murphy voice.
I don't know.
For me to read it? Are you good?
No,
you better
reading
out loud?
If I do it. No, okay. I'm good at reading out loud. Oh, well, who knows?
Now you're questioning yourself.
All right. So this is actually a quote from Wonder Woman of DC Comics superhero.
I think we're in the right range.
Yeah. It's not about what you deserve. It's about what you believe, and I believe in love.
Okay.
So there we go. It's not about what you deserve.
It doesn't make a ton of grammatical sense there. I mean, Tucker is a writer, a wordsmith. Tucker, can you parse that out? I mean, that doesn't make it.
All right, maybe I should.
Just read that sentence again.
It's not about what you deserve. It's about what you believe, and I believe in love.
Oh, and I believe. Okay, I missed the, you read that
right.
A little combined. It sounded like.
So,
cool. Right. I believe in love. I'm a big love guy.
Well, but I think the interesting part about this is like, it's kind of, I guess, about what you believe you deserve, like not what you actually deserve versus, I guess, would be the quote there, right?
Are you getting to the heart of it? Is that what you're doing?
I'm thinking about it. Now, here's a question moving forward. Should I just read Jim Murphy lines instead of quotes?
Sure, yeah. Cool. Read a Jim Murphy line.
All right. Thankfully, beliefs aren't set in stone. If that fear of spiders or any other belief is not serving you how you'd like, you can change it. It doesn't matter how logical, ingrained, or traumatic your experience was that created that belief. You can unlearn what you learned.
Okay.
Reminds me a little bit of me and Rain. You know what's funny?
Of you and what?
Rain.
Oh, I right. Think you said Ray. I was like, Ray Dittinger? It was like,
no, yeah.
It's like, is this Ray like a Tommy?
Yeah.
Is this a
Ray and Me by Elliot's coming out. Yeah. So it said, it doesn't matter how logical, ingrained, or traumatic your experience was that created your belief. You can unlearn what you learned. And here's the funny thing about it. I fall asleep every night now to a soundtrack that's just noises of rain. Think about that.
Good for you, man.
Inner excellence.
I'm really happy that you're growing.
Thank you. Well, this will be a fun little thing to do every day. We'll see how many days in a row we do it. I thought it was interesting.
I'm in on it.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Sure. I don't know about good. I'm in. It's interesting.
I think it's going to make people think. I don't know if I want to know what the chat says. Only know if it's positive. But yeah. All right.
It was good stuff.
I look forward to it.
Shout out to the author of the Eagles, Jim. Official Eagles author, Jim.
Actually, one more quick side note, and then we will talk.
Which went by James, but that's fine.
I think James is a way better name.
I do too. No offense to people who go by Jim.
Jim just seems like it's short, like there should be more coming. Jimmy.
I have never been a Jim. I've been called Jim, and I'll
like Jimmy Kemsky.
Hey, call me James.
I don't call him Jim.
Yeah. Exactly.
Me and Tucker were talking about this. I know you're a big reader, so this is good for you.
Monster. Yeah.
Yeah. Monster reader.
Oh, I just finished. I finished the 1,330 page book.
Sure, you did.
Very sad.
How'd you recover from it?
I'm devastated that it's over. Apparently, the next one's not coming until 2031. The hell's that?
Well, if it's 1,300 pages.
We told him like a 50, for Christ's sake. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point. What's your opinion? Because when AJ posted this book, he posted a page of it and like a lot of it was highlighted. Like he clearly read the book.
Yeah, I saw that.
So when I used to highlight like textbooks and...
Yeah, I've only done it for school. I've never done it for personal
reasons. I just feel like I would end up highlighting so much that I'm like, what's even the point of this? Like the whole freaking page is highlighted.
Oh yeah, I used to do that. Where you're like, I had to learn to be more selective. And I mean, like you can with Kindles highlight and you can mark passages.
Remember you used to be able to do that Apple Books.
You could do it with a Kindle. You put your finger on it and you like drag and it'll highlight a passage. It'll tell you how many people have highlighted passages, which passages are the most highlighted. You do any of that stuff. But I'm with you. I will once in a while take a picture of something on the Kindle on my phone, but it has nothing to do with like an inspirational thing. It'll be like, someone said lerve instead of love as a joke. And Emily and I have said we lerve each other for years. You know, like,
I like a good like, lerve.
Yeah, it's good. I lerve. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like we like something like an inside joke or something.
Right. I'll show it's like a screenshot.
Yes, it's like a screenshot, but I've never highlighted passages.
Yeah.
But back in school, I did.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
You know, considering the Sirianni thing, a lot of talk about the written word today.
There you go. Let's get to the written word. Shout out to Tim McManus. I thought an
awesome story.
Awesome piece for, you know, all the people out there who still doubt the best coach in the NFL. Yeah. No big deal. I thought it was awesome. Look, we have known this. You know, we believe that this is what makes Sirianni great, the way he interacts with the players, the relationships he forms with them. But, and we've heard anecdotes about it before. We've heard players on the air talk about like Sirianni FaceTiming them, or Nick talking about talking to players at night, or this.
You're
but to get such an in-depth look at, I mean, the story about Jordan Mailata, where, you know, it opens with this story about Mailata, where he calls him into his office and Mailata's like, oh God, what'd I do?
Yeah.
And it was to check on him about how he's doing because his dad had a heart attack prior, you know,
I think it
before.
Was actually a stroke.
Stroke, was it? Okay, it said a heart attack in the article.
Oh, did it? Okay. Yeah, maybe it was
a
heart
attack. The article said a heart attack, for what it's worth. So, and he was just like, whoa, you know, and it just seems like there's so many little stories in that article or anecdotes of Nick finding ways to connect with these guys to have their backs. And I thought that the like hammer at the end, which we've assumed, and we saw it in practice last year when we actually found out about that Seattle game, where it turned out that Nick had taken the heat for 2 weeks for AJ and Jalen with the dumbest of possible excuses. And we're like, what the hell? How could you possibly, Nick, what do you do? And it was because he was trying to cover for those guys. That's all he had. It's the best he could do. It turns out that's Nick's whole philosophy.
It's like
he is, I'm here to take bullets for you guys. You guys can go out and be your best. And it's just like, I think we're at the point where I get it nationally. Like, national people don't always understand what we understand here. 2017, we all knew we were going to win the Super Bowl. Nationally, they didn't. We were underdogs in all those games, all that stuff. I think we've gotten to the point where national people can think what they want. But if you're in this city and you don't believe in Nick Sirianni anymore, like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, open your friggin' eyes.
I agree. So, look, the Eagles might not win the Super Bowl. And when they lose, they're, because of how important Nick and Jalen are to the outcome of every game, there's a good shot we'll do a post-game pod and be like, man, Nick went for it on fourth. And, you know, like there will be something where the people that are mad at Nick will have a chance to latch onto it. But if you read that article, don't feel lucky to have Nick as the head coach of the Eagles. Like, to your point, I don't know what to tell you. Like, the article just speaks to exactly what he's good at, right? And it's ironic because Tim McManus, who wrote this article, is also the one who asked Nick at the presser,
what do you do?
Some variation of what do you do?
He was the one, not variation. He actually like asked, so Nick, with all that, what do you do?
Yeah, like, well, what do you, whatever, right?
So, I think he said, what do you do? Okay, I could be wrong, but I feel like that's what he asked.
Well, it's funny because we've been joking recently, like, if Nick wins the Super Bowl and he gives a speech, like, he'll be like, here's what I think. He should be like, so what do I do? And then hold the trophy.
Yeah,
I think that'd be an right all there. Time, right?
That would be sick.
Yeah, but anyway, so it's ironic Tim writes the article. But if you ever want to know what Nick does, like, this is it. And I know you can point to it and to go a little more into the article, and everybody should read it. But like, he handwrites.
Oh, that was amazing.
All these, well, but like, he wrote one to Nakobe, a handwritten note just being like, I'm proud of you and how far you've come. Like,
you're a great starting linebacker.
He wrote one to Isaiah Rodgers just being like, you've overcome so much. And Isaiah Rodgers says he carries it in his away bag and reads it before every game. Like, that's pretty crazy. And again, this is a little tied to the motivational stuff. But like, I love stuff like that. Like,
me too.
I love it, that's where
I am fully in. Like,
100%.
That's the kind of, like, I love it so much.
Yes.
Like, it matters about it. Of course.
Yeah. Like,
of course. It's thoughtful. It's caring. It brings you together. It makes you care about you. It's so smart.
And then when
Mailata, so thoughtful.
And when Mailata says, like, I'd do anything for that
guy. Of course you would.
Right. And I've always thought that was a little, I've never really understood that completely when players say it about coaches. Like, this is not the best example. But let's say, I'm not even going to use the Sixers. I don't know. Let's say,
I'd do anything for Nick Nurse.
Right.
Oh, you met him?
Yeah, okay, exactly. Cool. Yeah.
I've seen him.
Seems like a good guy. Let's say Nick Castellanos or someone on the Phillies. Like, I'd run through a wall.
Which they
Rob
do
Thompson.
Say about Rob.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know the intricacies of their relationship.
But we've heard all those players say that about Rob. That's like a constant thing. You have 24 guys running over the Schwarber quote, whatever.
Yeah.
Over the top of the thing. Like, that is something they say about them.
But like, the way it's explained in this article to me is the best way I've ever seen of like why a player would feel that way about a coach. You know, just like Mailata going through that, Nick being like, do you want time off? Like, or the Rick Lovato stuff.
I know, with the infertility.
Yeah, like, totally. And Nick checking in on him all the time. Yeah. And Lovato saying one of the first people he told was Nick. I just think that stuff is so important. So while we can talk about, you know, is Nick a great play caller? Is Nick like an elite X's and O's guys? And there are certainly elements, big elements of the job where that matters, right? Like, but ultimately, I will take that guy in that article over a guy like a Kyle Shanahan or a Mike McDaniel, where it's like their whole thing is scheme. I don't know how they are with their players. Maybe their players love
them. Well, they're a guy like McVay looks like someone who's both. Like, he looks like someone who's a scheme guy, but is also like the players love him.
Right.
He has relationships with them. They care. Like, it's both.
And I also think they hired Nick at the right time too. You know, I think like this team needed somebody. Like when Doug left, how much did we talk about like the front office is toxic and like who wants to work with Howie and Jeffrey's too involved? And we read the, and the article focuses on the player relationship and that matters. But I think it can't be understated how important it is Nick is in just fostering a good relationship between the front office as well. Like, I personally don't think Nick is big on analytics. Just my opinion. I don't think he's Mr. like, this is what the chart says. Like, but I think because he's good at relationships, he's able to work with a very analytical front office and have a good relationship while also, to a certain degree, like, I don't want to say ignoring their advice, but not always just doing what they think should be done, right? Like, Doug, for as much as I want to say, like, Doug left because he couldn't compromise, right? There was no strong relationship there where it was like, you know, like, let's figure this out together. They couldn't figure out how to keep Doug. He wanted to keep coaches. They didn't, right? But like, as much as Nick got made fun of for, you know, firing his coaches and basically being called a puppet, and like, I think there was something about that that's also in this article. Like, his ability to relate to people and get along with people, like, matters. And
well, yeah, I just think you saw it in the article too with the Jalen stuff. Talking yes. about the fact that, you know, we spent so much time talking about that and they point that out in the article, but about during the bye week where Nick like figured out how to get through to Jalen and right. how to connect
now,
with him.
Now, it's a little disappointing it took him this long.
Agree, but yes. there was other factors obviously yeah, involved sure. there and yeah. all that. Like, he, but the point is, it's like this guy can always figure it out with these relationships. Like yeah. he, and to your point, like, we've talked about this a million times, but I think it's important anywhere you work for your boss to like understand the people who he has underneath him and to treat them the way they need to be treated. Yeah. You know, we've talked, some people need a kick in the ass.
Right, attaboy,
some people need
guy,
an attaboy. Yeah. Like, some people need you to check in on them. Some people need you to leave them alone. Like,
yeah.
there is a management style for all different types of people. We're all so unique and so different as humans. Like, you can't just have one way of going about things and treating everyone the same way. And Nick seems like he is all time great
right.
at meeting these guys where they are and understanding what they need from him and then giving that.
Well, and this is why I tried.
And that's what the best bosses in any world
yes,
are like.
100%. And like, I tried to say this last week when talking about the Mount Union stuff, and it didn't really come out the way I wanted it to, but I just think his loyalty to Mount Union is such a sign of who he is. You know, like, just like he puts on a Mount Union shirt after a press. He is an extremely loyal guy, and I think that shows in this article. So, man, I had another point, but now it's escaping me. I just, I think it's impressive stuff. Oh, this is what it was. So we work in app in a workplace where, like, I'm not saying there's like egos, but like, you know, like, we're all radio, like, it's just a bit of a unique workplace, right? And we all get along, which is, we're very lucky for that. But like, being a boss in different atmospheres requires different things. And Nick has to deal with like 53 guys who have their whole life basically been like, I'm the best at what.
Oh yeah, no,
right?
No. Like, and also are there's testosterone.
Yes, there's money. There's
all these things.
So for as much as there's been little times this year where it's like, you know, maybe AJ's not getting the ball enough, or like Saquon or, you know, Devontae and AJ probably aren't happy about how much Saquon's running. Like, he took a team with justified egos, to be clear. AJ deserves to feel like he's the best player on the field. Devontae deserves to feel that way. Saquon does. Goddard does. Like, you know, Jalen, right? And for the most part, it seems like the vibes are amazing. Now, winning covers a lot. Who knows? I'm sure there's times behind the scenes where players aren't happy. But if it has happened, Nick's obviously dealt with it in a pretty good way. So that also really matters when talking about like a CEO head coach. And honestly, it's very Dan Campbell. Like,
as
we've always been a Dan Campbell pod.
Yeah.
Like,
we.
Me and you.
We loved together. Him when he was interim coach in Miami.
Yeah, I was all in on him. Yep, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Always been a leader of men. Mm-hmm. But like, you look at those clips of the Lions locker room afterwards, and Dan's better at being, I think, like a post-game guy. But like that, I think when I watch those Lions videos, I'm like, oh my God, the Lions are going to be tough to beat. I think the Eagles have the same exact thing going. And I think that's because of Nick.
I totally agree. And I think Nick also, to your point about the analytics stuff, and maybe it's because of the relationship and the way he manages it, but I think Nick's really great at blending both the old and the new school in what he does and how he goes about it. I mean, you've seen with the tough physicality, the identity of the team, but he's still willing to go for on fourth down. Like, I think that somehow with the way he interacts with these players, and I think that that's another thing that we hear a lot from the former players and the old school guys and I don't like that he does it this way, or the soft, you know, training camp or this or that or whatever it is. I think that somehow the Eagles have stumbled into maybe the perfect coach for where the NFL is now and who these players are and what they expect and all that. Like, it's not, you can't just go in and yell at guys anymore. Like, you can't just go in and be a hard ass. Like, These players are brought up in a different world, in different cultures. The way they go about playing football is different. Like, you have to be able to have that soft hand at times. You have to be able to have that relationship with these players. And I mean, it just seems like we're really lucky to have him here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I agree.
Who'd have thunk it?
This team does deserve a ring.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You know, like, we'll see if they get it.
But we do too, buddy.
Yeah.
We do too.
Yeah. Well, you already have one. Well, I mean, like, a fan base already has.
Yeah. But we deserve more.
Right.
We won in our lifetime. Like, come on, buddy. That's outrageous.
No, you're right.
For how great this organization has been, too. No less.
All right. Totally, so I have a thought that is not going to be super popular, but it was. I was thinking it this morning. I think you'll agree. It's Sixers related. So
what are we doing?
No, but I mean, Eagles Sixers. So, like, there is no question. It is rock bottom for the Sixers.
Yeah, so we did a poll today on the morning show. Is your disgust with the Sixers at an all-time high in 88%?
Yeah, I'm honestly surprised it's even there.
Yeah.
But, and I would guess that 12% of the people probably just don't like the
people
process.
People just like to...
Yeah.
Well, that's what Rhea said. Rhea said not all-time high because of the process.
Yeah.
Which I think there's a small percentage who hated that more.
And so I don't think the Eagles will ever get to where it is with the Sixers. But whenever I look at the Sixers now and look at how far they've fallen and how they're not going to win a title this year and how the road ahead looks so hard and not promising, I know we view their peak different, but like, I believe they had 3 or 4 years where they legitimately could have won a title. Like, they didn't do it. I know they didn't get close, right? But like, man,
I agree with what you're saying. Well, I see this all the time. I'm a big believer.
But the Sixers really make me feel
you don't
it.
Get that many chances of chance. Yes, exactly. I felt it in 2022. That's why I said it before the Super Bowl. I was like, they got to win. Like,
yeah.
And I get it. Real quick, why do you think that is? Maybe ownership, huh? From the top down.
Well, yeah.
Maybe one owner is a great owner and the other is a travesty of a Philadelphia owner. But sure, whatever.
Well, Lurie's definitely
hard to defend
owner.
Josh Harris these days.
No, I mean, we don't have to get it.
Hard to defend the guy, isn't he? Commanders owner Josh Harris.
He's who I've always thought.
Honestly, he's making his way towards worst owner in Philadelphia sports history territory. Like, he is approaching. He's not there yet, but he's like Harold Katz, Norman Brayman. Hey guys, I'm here. Let me in.
Well, what's tough is like, I don't really remember those guys, so it's hard for me.
Hello, let me in. Yeah, let me in.
It's hard for me to compare. So
disaster.
He's just, I look off the field. Personality wise, I agree with an owner. I agree with
joke.
You. Yeah, but like...
And it all stems from him, top down.
I would agree with elements of that,
for sure.
But anyway, I just like...
We don't have to worry about that with the Eagles.
Yes, right. They have a great owner. Yeah. You only get so many swings at it. And falls apart.
I totally agree. I mean, look at the Phillies. I mean, 2022, like...
Why this Rams
might have been the best chance. I mean, they still could, but that might have been the best chance they ever had.
It just gets harder and harder. But like, that's why this Rams game, like... I think they're going to win, but man, it would suck as a loss. Like, it would just...
I just don't see it. Like, I just don't see it. Honestly, and I know that it's a smaller spread. It's up to 6.5. Last I looked, we could check again. It's going back between 6 and 6.5 in the Bet Parks app. I know it's a bigger spread. I think the Commanders have a better chance.
I do too. Oh, without question. We talked about this yesterday.
Oh, did we mention this yesterday?
Yeah. I guess I understand why it's larger. I don't really think it should be.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I think the Commanders are a better team than the Rams.
So the other thing... Are we
good? Yeah, let's get to Jalen. So
so this is off of the Shield.
So there was an article on the Ringer. Shout out to our guy Shio Kapadia. Love him.
Another great guy.
How funny is that though? Like, I know, shout out to Birds 24/7.
Yeah, throwback.
We are doing a Tim McManus article to start and a Shio Kapadia article. For those who don't know, former coworkers at Birds 24/7 together. The now defunct, I believe, Birds.
R.I.P.
Right? Yeah, R.I.P. But yeah, that was good back in the day. So anyway, article on the Ringer talking about passing Eagles.
Yeah, so essentially the article is basically saying how Shield is torn between they win all the time and like the passing numbers are definitely not great is essentially the premise of it. You guys should all read it. It's on the Ringer. But anyway, the passage here that stuck with me that I want to ask you about. So he says, and I'm reading what he wrote, obviously. I looked up the past 10 years of postseason games to try to put Hurts' performance against the Packers in context. Out of a sample of 224 games, Hurts' wildcard performance ranks tied for 205th in dropback success rate, a metric that measures how often a passing play produces a positive play. There's only been 15 examples in the past 10 seasons of a quarterback having a worse success rate in a playoff game. And guess what? All 15
he's
of
the only
those
one
quarterbacks.
Who won. Yeah.
Well, all the other ones. 15.
That's my point. He's the only one who won.
Correct.
I'm assuming like you can't.
Yeah, all of the other 15 quarterbacks lost.
So how do I react to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it shows that what this Eagles team is. It's that this Eagles team, like, look, I know they're an anomaly, but anomalies happen. Like, they are amazing doing what they do. They won by 12 points. It wasn't even a game.
And like, honestly, they could have had 30.
They could have had way more. Like, and first and foremost, I'll see this a million times. Like, that was the worst game we will see Jalen play. Like, he will not be worse moving forward. Like, he was rusty. Like,
I believe that.
The concussion was a real thing. Like, I think he had symptoms longer than we thought. Like, I think Jalen will be better moving forward. But also, like, I don't really care. Like, they win. Like, the shield being torn, right. I'm not torn. Like, they're awesome. They think about it this way. Since the bye week, how many games have they lost that Jalen Hurts started and ended? Zip. Yep. Zero. They haven't lost one.
Right.
Like, what are we talking about? Since they decided for this to be the way they go about their offense, where it's like the most conservative offense in the NFL, they have not lost a game that Jalen has started and finished. Like, what are we talking about here? They're 12-0 in games that Jalen has started and finished, or I guess 13-0 if you include the 12-0. Yep, 12-0 in games he has. That's right. 12-0 in games he has started and finished since the bye. Like, why are we complaining? Like, what are we doing? So, like, just go out and beat teams. That's what they do. Win games.
So I agree with 93% of what you just said. But let me read you.
Especially because I do think he'll be better.
Yes. I think he'll be better,
when
too.
When they need him to make plays, I think he's going to make.
I agree with you. And I also think this year, for the most part, when they've had to pass the ball, they've been able to.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't think it's coincidence when the whole passing game against the
Steelers, they went out and looked
amazing. So I agree with 93.
I don't think they want to throw it. I think they know they need to throw it, but ideally they want to go out and have a 60 something to 30 something percent split and dominate and beat the crap out of teams. They want to beat the crap out.
And I do think organizationally, and I guess I can't say this with confidence because maybe it's changing. I think organizationally, they would rather be an elite passing team.
I think it might have changed.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It might have changed.
I think they want to win.
Yeah, but I do think we have taken into consideration. They have maybe the best rushing attack of all time.
So that's what we're talking about.
But I also do think when they pass it, like there is definitely part of me that thinks without question, the reason they do this the way they do it is because they don't think they can run like an elite every week in, week out passing.
I think they know that this is the best.
Yeah, this is the best way for them to win. So while I personally do believe that in big moments like Detroit or the Super Bowl, or maybe this week, if it's a fourth quarter and they're down three, like,
I won't have.
I agree, but I'm just, I agree, right? I think that Jalen can throw the ball and throw them to a win. Now, I looked these stats up and I want to tell them to you, but I'll preface this with this. I counted them by hand. I did them like 4 or 5 times. I checked it. I tried my best, but I think there's a possibility it's 1 or 2 games off. Regardless, over the last 3 years, Jalen Hurts, when throwing it 35 plus times in a game, so 2022, 2023, and this season, he's 12-2 when he throws it 35 plus
times. Wow, that's a great stat.
All right, you want to guess what Matthew Stafford's record is when he throws it 35 plus
times? I'll bet you it's bad.
It's 5-10.
Yeah, I would bet you the vast majority of quarterbacks have a bad record.
So
when they throw
Josh
over
Allen, who I just picked because people seem to always compare Jalen to him, he's 12-8 when he throws it.
That's 30. What I mean. Like,
so think of how much better Jalen's record is when he throws it 35 plus times. Now here's the other
stat. That's a great stat.
I know. The only reason I haven't tweeted is because I've checked it by hand every time.
And it's hard to tweet.
Yeah. So here's the other.
You should get Drew from Westchester to back up your
honestly,
work.
I was hoping Tucker could.
What's the stat?
Jalen's record when he throws it 35 plus times over the past 3 years. If it's wrong, don't say it on the pod. But I mean, it's a game or two off at most, regardless.
Either way, you're not like 5 games off.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, so here's the other one I thought was impressive. When Jalen's defense over the past 3 years gives up 30 plus points, I have him down as 5-3.
Wow.
Matthew Stafford, when his defense gives up 30 plus points, is 1-7.
Wow.
Josh Allen is
1-4. Well, it's funny because the one is that Buffalo game, 44-42.
Josh Allen, 1-4.
Wow.
So, like, Jalen wins a higher percentage of 50% when his defense gives up 30 plus points over the past 3 years. And it's worth noting, they've done it more than these other two defenses.
Oh, those are great numbers for me.
So, like, if your whole, and this is what we do with Jalen, we like, it's almost fear mongering when it's like, well, what if this happens? What if this happens? Can he do it in this? And to your case, it's been 12 games. So the chances of the exact scenario we're all afraid of happening feel relatively slim. But like, if the defense struggles and they give up 30 plus points, Jalen's shown he can win those games. If they stop the running game and Jalen has to throw it a ton of times, he wins that way. So Well, I think there is absolutely, like, I cannot look at the people that are concerned and be like, you're wrong. Because I do agree, the passing game has not looked like as crisp and as great as you wanted it to look. And I do think they're a little, like, 5%, maybe a little too obsessed with not turning it over. Like, what stat can you point to other than DVOA, where he's 14th, according to this article, where it's like, that's a concerning stat. Like, where is it?
Like, 14th. It's not like he's 28th.
Right. Exactly.
Like, we're actually like,
yes, 100%.
Fine.
Right.
Like, what are we doing here? Where's Stafford? Are they that high? Like, I mean,
I'd be curious to know if you could find any, like, you know, certain game situation over the past 3 years where Jalen has a losing record. I mean, there's probably one, but like, it's not like away games. It's not home games. It's not when trailing by 10. It's not when up by 10.
It's not
when
favored. And guess what? It's not even playoff games anymore. It's not now. Yeah. Even.
And it's not when he throws it a ton. And I do think in general, a lot of quarterbacks have bad records when they throw it a ton, because it means you're behind. Right. So the fact that Jalen has such a good record when he throws it so many times is, yeah, I think it's nugget. It's a good point by Sheil. I do understand. It's like, whoa, how are they winning like this? But like, I can't get too worked up about it.
Love it. Yeah. I think it's a great take. All right. You got any answers? You get to final thoughts.
No, I think that's good.
Final thoughts.
All right. So I have a funny one that I actually am very proud of, and I hope you are with me on it.
Oh, but
all right. So
this,
you know,
this could go either way.
So you know how when, like, all right. So someone said to me at the Eagles yesterday, man, next Tuesday, the like low is 9 degrees, right? I know, which, right? I know, crazy. I know, I know.
Dude,
now you
I'm
are
so not okay.
You
this.
Are potentially a bad person to talk to.
I'm
about
so
this
not okay
because you get
this.
Up early in the morning.
Yeah, oh, it's the worst. This morning, by the way, this morning was
really, I know it was like 2 degrees. It's crazy. It's
really hard. Dude. Like I was really uncomfortable.
Yeah,
this morning leaving my house.
I'm sure
it takes until I get to work for my car to get.
Yeah, exactly. It's a short
the
drive.
Entire time. Anyway.
All right. So here's my overall thought. Look, there are definitely people that need to know what the weather is at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. I, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think as a general rule of thumb, if I'm looking quickly at the news, or if someone says to me what a low is, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. I don't care what it is at 9 o'clock at night.
Oh,
I don't
I
care what it is.
This
at 3
is a real shock.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Like,
so
I know. So that's what I'm
me.
Saying. You're, so you're, no, but you can look it up.
It like, just says the low and the high.
Yes. Like, let's be honest that like the low is more.
But don't you look at it and assume that? Like, I look at it, I'm like, oh, so it, like early in the morning.
But then it's not useful information, really. Like, I need to know.
Well.
And I know you can look it up.
I get what you're saying, but here's what I would say. I think that when they are doing just a quick little low and high, right? Like, right. You're trying to let as many people know the range of temperature for the day as you possibly
right.
can. So I do think it is valuable to people who work at night or people out
there. It is.
Whereas I think that if you are someone like you, you can assume, now you don't always know, but you can assume that when I'm out during the day, like, all right, the low, the high, it'll probably be about 6-7 degrees below the high, and it'll get right. up to the high at some point in the afternoon, and then it'll begin to go down. Like, I get what you're saying, but I don't think it is absolutely necessary. I think if you just have a tiny little space to let people know, I think you want to let as many people know the range as possible, and people are smart enough to understand that it's not going to be 2 degrees at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
So one option could be, I think in your weather app, you could maybe make it so it's like,
I actually
when
think
it's
you
on
should
your
have
home
to
screen
to go in to find out the time.
Yeah, and I do that. Like, I will
I know,
definitely
I'm
look
saying
by
that
the hour.
I think it's the opposite of what you're saying, though. I think they're actually right. the right way of doing it.
But I think the vast majority of the population, maybe I'm wrong about this, is like not really up at 4 a.m.
Right, but they can look at it and understand. Like,
I know
smart
they could, but
to it, know that it's not going to be too.
But we don't really relay any of their information that way, where it's like, here's the information, and then like contextualize it as you want.
But
like,
we also don't like. What do you want them to do on a news screen? Put like the every time that it's going to be.
No, I want when someone says on the weather, on like a weather person says next Tuesday, the low is going to be 14 degrees instead of
but
nine.
It's not true.
I know like, it's not true. I know it's not true, but I think it's a more useful way to relay the information. I get your point. I do.
I mean,
right.
But I like there are a lot of people who go out at night. There are a lot of people who like, you know what I mean? Like you're saying 7 to 7. It's a very specific.
Well, we
thing.
Can do 8 to 8 or like 7 to 8. I don't know. I just don't get why it matters what it is between
do,
11
have
and
to
4 a.m.
6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Like if
I'm
you're actually going to do it,
yeah.
it would have to be like the when people are out. Like
I'm open to changing the time.
Yeah.
I just don't think it matters what the low
I,
is between
I think this
11
is,
and 5.
Like, but also we're talking about like such a minute, like the difference between the temperature at 4 a.m. and 7 a.m. is maybe like 3 or 4 degrees. Like it's not like it jumps up massively.
Fair, but 9 sounds a lot different than 13. You know it does.
So I think this is nonsense. Honestly, the more I think about it, I think this would be among the more unnecessary changes that were ever made.
A lot of changes are viewed that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can't get down with you. I apologize. And it's not just because they wake up early. It has nothing to do with that. I'm just saying in general.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think it's a perfect system, but I think there's something there.
Good. All right. I'm going to give some book recommendations tomorrow. So,
well,
get excited.
Can't wait.
Yes. Yeah. I'll do two Zoeisms today. One, the Seinfeld one, which I mentioned. So we're getting back from gymnastics last night. And I'm walking in and Zoe looks at me. I barely even see my hair, but right. She just thought it'd be hilarious. I guess her mom.
Would you have a hat on? What you're saying?
Yeah. She looks at me and she goes, your hair looks like Lloyd Braun. Like, what? How do you know who Lloyd Braun is?
Wow, what
is
a random pool. Yeah. So Emily, isn't Lloyd Braun the like...
Yes, he's the crazy guy with the slick back hair in the episode with the computers.
Yeah, wow.
That's Lloyd Braun. And he's brought up more because George always talks about him.
No, I know, but like how many times could Zoe have seen him?
She hasn't. Emily has obviously talked about Lloyd Braun, made Lloyd Braun jokes. Zoe picked up on it.
That's crazy.
Transferred it to me.
Wow.
So I got called Lloyd Braun by my daughter.
And I can't imagine your hair looking like that, but like,
I know she couldn't even see my hair.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a funny joke.
It's a good pull by her. It was a
good
pull. Sure.
It was a very good pull. Also, I go into the room and she's sitting there like looking at Ruben. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm talking to Ruben. I'm like, oh, okay.
The dog, to be clear.
Yeah. Our dog, Ruben. And she goes, rough, rough. She looks at me and goes, that's the only word I know.
There you go.
That's great.
That's the only word. It's the only dog word I know.
She's like, we're having a conversation. She goes, rough, rough.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I know.
I haven't learned bark yet. Yeah. How many variations are there
this creature
of so, dog
so
noises?
We have a book that has rough, like there's rough, rough, there's woof,
bark,
bark,
woof. I think that's kind of it.
Oh, there's more. There's more.
What about bow wow?
Bow wow, for sure.
Fine, counts. Fair. I'll give
definitely more. I wish I could remember this book.
So wait, what do we have?
Barf? She was a kid.
I mean,
What dogs
don't say barf?
Yeah. No, arf.
Said arf.
Oh, arf counts.
Nah, I don't.
Barf. No, you're wrong. Arf is in.
Well, like say arf, it like a dog. Arf. Yeah, okay, that's fair. Yeah, okay, you know, yeah. That's good.
Nice job, talk.
Like,
Yeah, there is that. I mean, dogs do that.
But I feel like other animals maybe do that. No cats don't really do that. Yeah, you're right.
That's one.
Okay. So we're up to like five now?
Five or six.
All right. Man, they're going to smoke the rest.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back tomorrow and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Subscribe to the pod. Rate and review.
Five-star reviews.
Tell
a friend.
Please. It would really mean a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have an Eagles friend who's an Eagles fan who doesn't listen to this pod, like, get on him, man.
Yeah, send it to
him. No. Don't just send it to him. Send it to him. Call them after you send it and say, listen to the thing I just sang.
Ask what the final thought was at the end of the pod.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, it's like, see if you really listen.
Exactly.
Did you get to the ridiculous dog conversation? Okay, now.
What's your opinion on weather?
All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, he's item.